Game day. Welcome to game day. Actually, welcome to the Krug Show meets the John Chapman experience. We're dual streaming on a Saturday, but tonight at Levi's, the 2025 49ers season gets underway. Let's talk about what we're going to see tonight. Let's go. Pig in a Pickle brings you the Krug Show and John Chapman on a Saturday. Let's come aboard, everybody. Off and running on a Saturday. Hope everybody's having a great one. Beautiful weather, Northern California. Preseason week one of the NFL is underway. I watched games last night. I'll be watching games all weekend long. I'll be watching games left and right on the NFL Network. It is Saturday, August the 9th, 9:15 out here on the West Coast. 15 minutes after noon back east. Welcome to the Pig in a Pickle Krug Show. If you're watching live on YouTube, do us a favor, hit that like button, hit subscribe, make sure you hit the notification bell so you never have to miss a minute of me or John Chapman. Hit like and subscribe on both channels. We're dual streaming today. And remember, once the live stream wraps, you can catch the full replay anywhere on that you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever your favorite platform is. Just search the Krug Show and you'll find us on our end. And thanks to Pig in a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera, open 7 days a week. We're also brought to you by Claw Daddy Arcades. They're a great sponsor and they're a great follow on Instagram at @claw_daddy_arcades to find a location near you. They're in Capitola Mall and Visalia Mall starting later this summer. And then we'll tell you a little bit later on about Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles. But thanks for being here. And John, if you have anybody you want to shout out, I know John does a lot of people travel with John and they have the whole 49er Rush podcast hits the road and is doing some amazing things. And I know, there's a way if people want to travel that they can do it, John. So tell them how they do it.
Yeah, if you want to be a part of the 49ers community on the road, 49ers Rush Road Trip, we go to every single away game except for the Rams because that's not really an away game. The Niners, that's a home stadium, SoFi. So all you got to do is go to tickpick.com, search 49ers Rush, and it pulls up every single event. We throw a party the day before every single home game from 2 to 6 p.m., and then we throw an all-inclusive premium tailgate with unlimited drinks, food, premium cocktails. Kids are free to every event we will ever do. And if you want to come hang out with the Seattle Week 1, Frank Gore is going to be there to say what's up. You can do a little meet and greet and autograph session and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, tickpick.com and just search 49ers Rush. You'll see every single one of our events. We'll be in Saints. We'll be at the Giants game. We'll be at every single road game all season long, day before and all that stuff. So come party with us. It's going to be a good time, man.
There you go. And I just put that graphic up. You can check it out. Niners in Seattle. They invade Seattle with Frank Gore Saturday, September 6th, 2 to 6 p.m. with Frank Gore. Party with the faithful. A lot of great stuff. Once again, John said Tick Pick app. Type in 49er Rush and you can get tickets right there. And there are still tickets available, right, John, for this one?
Gotcha. Yes, sir. It will sell out. But right now, there are still tickets available, thankfully. So you got about a month. We'll see. Whenever we hit capacity, then we'll have to close it off, sadly, which is like my least favorite thing to do. Business-wise, it's a good thing. But I hate saying, sorry, you should have waited. But yeah, come out and party with us, guys.
Well, I'm fired up for tonight. I know it's preseason game number one, and a lot of people will be like, oh, come on, man, you're way too into the preseason. Well, this is what we do, man. We cover the Niners year round, and we talk a lot of Niners on days when there are no games. So it's great to talk Niners on days when there are games. And of course, I'll have a busy day today. John and I will be streaming. Then I'm going to be producing a video, probably a little preview video. Then I'll be off to the game. I'll be on the KMBR pregame show, which starts at 2:30 on 107.7 on the FM dial and 8:10 AM on the AM dial because Giants baseball is still going on 680. So you can catch the 8:10 on the AM, 107.7 on the FM dial. Bob Fitzgerald, Keena Turner, Dennis Brown on the call tonight. And then on the TV side, Tim Ryan, Guy Haberman sitting in for the great Greg Papa, who I texted with yesterday and wished him well. And we just expressed love for one another. And Greg's going to be making it back. And I'm really excited about you know, him coming the day that we see him back in the booth. But Guy Haberman will be doing an amazing job tonight, filling in his place on the TV side with, of course, the great T-Rock, Tim Ryan. And Vern Glenn is on the sideline, I believe, on the TV side. So check that out tonight. That's on KPIX on the television side. 5:30 kick, 2:30 pregame on the radio. What are we going to see tonight? And John, to me, it's like, you know, I've talked to NFL people for years, football people for years about the preseason and what can be gained, what can be lost. You know, everybody's got a different philosophy. McVay believes sit all your guys. Shanahan believes you got to build up calluses in the preseason to get through the rigors of a season. So they're different approaches. I just look at it this way, John. There's only really three things that get done in the preseason. The offense can develop a rhythm, a cohesion through just, you know, through reps, practice reps, game reps, communication at the, you know, at the lunch, in the lunchroom. You know, offensive cohesion can develop, as you know, offensive football is about timing and cohesion and working together. 11 guys, you know, 11 cogs in the wheel, so to speak. Defensive football is more about energy and accountability and you know, you want to be in the right place at the right time, but it's a lot more about effort and accountability. So to me, in the preseason, what the three things happen. You build offensive cohesion. That's one. But then the other two things are, one is you lose guys to injury for the season. That impacts your season. And then also you discover gems, guys that you didn't think you could bank on, that suddenly you're like, whoa, we got something new here. This is a new wrinkle. We can bank on these guys. And I think tonight, I'm hoping is going to be a lot about discovering gems and not a lot about losing guys to injury.
Yeah, and you know, there's so much about the way in which you practice is usually the way in which you play. And, you know, whenever I was back coaching, like, that first, you know, scrimmage or whatever you want to call it, or, you know, non-conference, non-district game, you would figure out a lot about a lot of players. We could look at, you know, Upton Stout and CJ West and Sebastian Valdez and Jordan Watkins, these rookies that have excelled through mini camp and training camp. But now you got to do the next level. And not everybody, there is a Ronnie Bell, Ronnie Bells of the world, who were so great in training camp. And then for some reason, whenever you're playing in front of fans in the lights, it's a different ball game. And you can't catch the ball anymore, and you can't execute your assignments, and you're a little too overeager and all those things. So it's all about just validating what these players have already established with what they've done through training camp, which is the most important. And whenever you can validate, like, look, these guys that have been players are reliable and they have now checked off the next box to perform for the regular season, that's huge. And reps are everything, especially for rookies. And the 49ers are relying on rookies more than ever before in the Shanahan era, Larry. So this, for those of you that are saying like, it's preseason, who cares? I'm telling you right now, these rookies have to take their lumps now so that you're not taking them in October. So if there was ever a time where preseason quote unquote matters, it's 2025 for the 49ers. You got 11 rookies. You got 6 undrafted free agents, all of which should be playing except if they're held out for, you know, injury status, which there are some of those. But this is paramount, Larry. Today is a monumental day with what we're going to learn about the 2025 season.
You know, it's funny. There's even different philosophies about playing rookies in the preseason. I mean, give you an example. When I was with the Cardinals, we used to have guys in our front office that believed that rookies really could only give you half a season, and that you really should slow play them in camp, not force feed them, let them learn at their own pace and ramp them up, and then you introduce them in the middle of the year and then kind of have them play, you know, more of a role as the year goes on. But every roster is different, and I don't think the 49ers are afforded that luxury this year to kind of slow play their rookies. But what do you think of that? I mean, you know, the average college player plays what, 10 games? I mean, you know, the college season might be 12 games, 13 games. You're playing 17 games in the regular season, 20 with the preseason, 23 with the playoffs. If you get there, I mean, we're talking about quite, I mean, we're talking about something different. I mean, there's only so many football games in a person's body. There's a big, big difference. And I talked to Dom Pooney this week about this. He's like, I was in shape. I thought I knew what I was doing, this and that. He's like, I got to November, Krug, and I hit the wall. I hit the absolute wall, and my play down the stretch wasn't what I wanted it to be. I'd never played that many games in my life.
Yeah, it's hard. And, you know, you look at the, you know, regular season kickoff is exactly 1 month from today. So you have the three preseason games, then you have the week off, which I do love how the CBA has transitioned to, you know, getting that full week off, like a bye week before the season. But right now is ramp up time. Yeah, you're practicing about 3 days in a row. Now you throw in, you know, you had a day off yesterday. Now you have the preseason game. I want the rookies getting high snap counts more this week than I do any other preseason week. Like, I understand, like, you've got to be careful and you've got to ration and you don't want the injuries and you don't want the wear and tear. This is the game. Week one, preseason, where I want the rookies and those young bucks getting the most reps possible so that we have that allotment to teach through film over the correspondent in the next month. So this is the week. If I was, you know, allocating snaps, I want my rookies getting the most snaps this week. I want to taper it back a little bit next week. And then, you know, that third preseason, that's where the threes and fours, the guys that are fighting for roster spots, most of which won't make the 53. I'm going to lean on them very heavily week three. But as far as rookies go, I'm telling every single rookie, every single undrafted free agent, you better drink your Gatorade, boys. Like, it's going to be going down today, and you're going to be playing a lot more than you expect.
By the way, I see in the chat Invader 49er, who I haven't seen in there for a while. Invader, I have your mini helmet. I have your mini Niner helmet. I purchased it. It's in the house. I've had it in there for a while. I don't have Invader 49er's contact info. So, Invader, if you could either somehow drop it to me here, or if you can DM me on social media, I will get that in the mail to you in the next day or two. I lost the Willie. This is the Willie Lampkin bet. I said Willie Lampkin would be drafted. Invader said, no, he will not be drafted. He was not drafted. I bought him this helmet. You know, I wanted to, we were talking about real helmets, and he said, hey, how about a mini helmet? Anyway, so I got the mini helmet, but then all of a sudden, by the time I got it, I lost. And I think Invader might have sent me an email somewhere, but I typed into my email search Invader 49er. I didn't see your name. So
the funny thing is, I own a T-shirt too. Invader wins everything.
Does he? That's awesome.
I'll email you, Invader. I'll take care of that, man.
All right,
on me.
We will get your stuff to you, Invader.
100%.
All right, the big question of the day is a question that I asked Brock Purdy, which is, how much do you want to play yourself in the preseason? Here's what he had to say. This is kind of interesting.
How many series would you like to play in the preseason, or do you need to play to be ready for week one?
I haven't talked to Kyle or anything about that yet in regard to the first game. But I always love getting a couple series in and stuff within, you know, with the three preseason games that we get. So not sure what that looks like, but I always love getting it just to get the feel for warming up for a game, how it feels, you know, dropping back 11 on 11 in the stadium with the shot clock, like just working all the things and getting ready for game one. Something that I've always looked forward to actually every year. So,
I mean, kind of a non-answer, but you know, he likes to play. And I get it. You know, I don't know how you feel about this, but I personally, and I talked about this last night on Niners Nightly on the YouTube side. I have like the Niners have six guys that I just wouldn't play. And my guys would be Demo, Fred, Nick, Bosa, Trent, CMC, and Brock. Of that group, I might consider playing Brock just because he does probably need to. It's very important that he's in rhythm. Your quarterback has to be in rhythm. And I would say I'd put a max at five series, one tonight, one against. I wouldn't mind him playing a little bit in all three games. One series tonight, one series against the Chargers. I like the idea of warming up the crowd, the whole thing, staying in that rhythm, even if it's just for a series. And then every game is a opportunity to get better. And then I would say that Raider game, maybe two series, maybe three, depending on how the game goes. So I'm thinking five total series for Purdy. And then I don't want to see CMC, no Trent, no Bosa, no Warner, no Lenore. I'm only the guy I'm debating about is, or the two guys I'm debating about who would be the next on the list would be like Pearsall and Pooney. Do I play them? And I think I probably will play them. But what do you think, John? What would be your philosophy as far as, you know, Shanahan said the starters will, you know, will obviously start the game, but there'll be a number of starters that won't play. Who would be on your, you know, sit list?
So Brock Purdy is going to be tied to the offensive line. So if Trent and Ben Bartsch and whomever else is not playing, Brock Purdy's not playing. I'm not going to put Brock Purdy out there in 11-on-11 full contact if he's not getting the protection that he deserves. Yeah, I mean, you look at Anthony Richardson, you know, he should have known he was hot, but dude got blown up on like the second or third play, broke his pinky and whatever else. Not saying Brock Purdy and Richardson have anything in common besides the fact that they're quarterbacks. But if you look at last year,
not to interrupt you, but Brock did take a hit like that.
Yeah.
Right away by Keanu Neal in that first Tampa start where he didn't necessarily see Neal and he got keyholed. So, I mean, I know you're right though. I saw that play. Richardson, come on, man. You got the free release to the flat on the same side. And you
gotta know you're hot.
Yeah. You gotta know where your hot is. And you gotta also kind of take a quick, peek to see who's coming free. He seemed like totally like he was like so tunnel vision on his target, which shows how raw he is, really.
Yeah, really. And so like I would tie Brock Purdy to protection. You know, last year in the preseason, Brock Purdy didn't play in the first preseason game. He played 11 snaps in the second and then 24 snaps in the third preseason game. So that kind of ramp up time. Now, Brock Purdy's been out there at camp for the most part, besides whatever he's having kids, which, man, that's awesome. And congratulations to the Purdy family. But I feel like he's had a good camp. But, man, that joint practice did not go well for Brock Purdy. So, like, I could guarantee you players want to play. And but you heard it from Brock when you asked him. He's out there chomping at the bit, man. Let me get out there and get a series in. But if Trent's not playing and if Bartsch isn't playing, which we don't know yet, but if those two guys ain't going, I'm not playing Purdy this week, period. I want those guys out there. And if they're not, I'm okay with the Spencer Burford at left tackle if all other four starting offensive linemen are going to play and if Kittle's going to play and whatever else. But with the wide receiver situation the way that it is right now, and, man, are you going to wrap Ricky Pearson bubble wrap or are you going to let him go? That depends if I'm playing Purdy at all. But, yeah, Nick Bosa, I'm not playing. Fred Warner, I'm not playing. I don't want any of those established all-pro vets. What are they going to get at this point in their career? You know, maybe you let them get one series, whether that's, you know, week two or week three, but that's about it. Like, Trent Williams, I only want him out there just to protect Brock Purdy. He doesn't need the reps. But, yeah, the established all-pros, I'm resting those guys.
You know, here's the thing about that, too. It's like I kind of agree, kind of disagree. I mean, I do agree. I don't want to put Brock out there without the top-tier offensive line. But at the same time, it's like, you know, he may have to get used to playing this year with some of these backup linemen. And would we want him to have some experience? I mean, he's got practice reps. I don't know. I mean, Shanahan's like, hey, I don't practice, you know, we don't practice getting hurt. We don't practice, we don't want to practice in less than ideal situations if we can avoid it. So I get the idea. I felt that way for years. Like if there's no Trent, I don't want Purdy to be out there, but like Trent's now at an age in his career where I don't know, I want him to play at all in the preseason. And yet I do want Purdy to play in the preseason. So I'm kind of a little bit torn there. I hear what you're saying, but that kind of leads us into my next question to you, which is 49ers 2025. Drop this one. He goes, he's got this one. He's like, we need to bring in more offensive tackles, John. If there's one, like, let's get you and I cover the Niners on a regular basis. You were at the practices this week. I was too. Let's get really, really, really current. Okay. Based on what we've seen recently, like Thursday, that's the latest that we've seen. Based on what you've seen, do you have any new takes on the 49ers that just came up Thursday? Something that you just kind of realized Thursday, or it really hammered home this week? Because for me, 49ers 2025 here is hammering on it. I'm much more concerned today than I was in June or even at the beginning of this camp about offensive tackle. I feel like the Niners have a monumental problem on their hands. Trent Williams is Trent. He's awesome. He's still great. Colt McKivitz is a little stronger in the upper body, and he's geared to making the Pro Bowl, and I think he's going to have a good year. He's stonewalled, you know, Mikael Williams consistently in the one-on-ones. But after that, Burford is false starting in practice, just desperate to get out there on the speed rushers. He's not quick enough footed to play tackle in the NFL. I absolutely feel like I know that. Like, if they try to put him at tackle, Purdy's going to get killed. He's going to whiff. He's going to false start. I'm going to set the over under. They are not calling his false starts now. And I haven't heard anybody even say it to him. Now, maybe they are in the meetings, but he is false starting at least three or four times. And I'm going to put the over under on Spencer Burford false starts in the preseason at 2.5. And I'm going over.
Ooh.
I think this guy, he knows he doesn't have the quick enough feet. He's trying desperately to save his career and fit in as a tackle. He's playing as the number two left tackle to Trent Williams. I kind of felt like the Niners O-line just got abused by Denver's D-line in the beginning of that practice. And I'm really concerned. I was all in on Austin Pleasance in May. And that's why if I next OTAs, if I get hot to trot on anybody, just slap me. Just be like, do not do that, because I break my own rule because I put no credence into OTAs, and I do it for a reason, because it doesn't mean anything, because Austin Pleasance looked amazing, and he's also can't handle speed rush, can't handle bull rushers. He got waltzed into the quarterback by Jalen Allen the other day, who's out. He outweighs by 100 pounds. He's not quick enough. He's not strong enough. He's not fast enough. They're not good enough.
Your fantasy league pays bragging rights. My bookie pays cash. Gear up for another banger of a football season with a full-service sportsbook and casino in one. Whether you're firing off futures, betting the spread, spinning the slots late at night, everything runs through one account, one wallet, no switching apps. MyBookie has it all. Right now is the perfect time to get ahead of the curve with college football kicking off August 23rd. MyBookie's got national championship, Heisman odds, already live. Lock in your picks early before the lines start moving. And if you're brand new, you get a little extra juice. Sign up with promo code 49ers, 49ERS, or scan this QR code next to me. Drop in $100. MyBookie adds $50 for free. Go bigger, get more for your money. The action's heating up, the odds are moving, and this season is shaping up to be a good one already. Don't miss it. Bet big anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere, including California, with MyBookie. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Preseason football is underway and college football is here. So don't miss any of the action this preseason on Prize Picks. 49ers bets are everywhere. And my favorite thing about Prize Picks is how simple it is to play. You just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. You get the picks right, you can win cash up to 2,000 times your money. Will Brock Purdy have more or less than 12.5 yards rushing? What about Christian McCaffrey at 75 yards week one? That's it. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 40 states, including California, Texas, Florida, and Georgia. So download the Prize Picks app today and use code 49ers, that's 49ERS, to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. Run your game.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Burford's not the answer. Pleasance isn't the answer. Maybe Isaiah Prince is the answer. maybe Andre Dillard, who hopefully gets back soon. I don't know if he'll play tonight. Somebody asked in the chat if he's going to play tonight. I don't know. I don't think so. And that's my new concern is I think tackle could be a five alarm fire. They should have paid DJ Humphreys the freaking money that he wanted. They didn't. And, you know, save a nickel, you know, now you don't have a swing tackle. And I don't think these guys can do it. I think they're going to have to go find somebody either in a trade or off the waiver wire. And they're going to learn this the hard way because they are all in on these guys. And I'm pretty convinced they can't do it.
It's problematic. And, you know, Spencer Burford's trying. He has not even taken any snaps at guard. He's left tackle only. Austin Pleasant's right tackle only. Both of them slow foot speed. Now, the one thing that if, you know, I had to speak for Shanahan or John Lynch is Andre Dillard's one of the most athletic, quick-footed linemen to come out of the draft in years. He was a first-round pick. He has not lived up to the hype. But the athleticism and foot speed, he has that in spades. I still remember his combine drill being one of the most, like, quick-footed tackles coming out of the draft in the past decade, but subpar performance. So like if Spencer Burford and Austin Pleasance prove, you know, tonight that they can't handle that speed rush out there on the edge, you've got Andre Dillard and that's pretty much it. You look at, you know, there's a couple of guys still out there on, you know, that you can get, but you're not going to get anything special. And this is the issue. You let Jalen Moore go, which I think was really smart. You shouldn't have paid him $15 million, but you brought in almost nothing. And you had DJ that you talked about, Humphreys, but you didn't want to pay him. And so, like, you get what you pay for. And that's kind of now, hopefully, Spencer Burford goes out there and proves he can do it tonight. And Austin Pleasance does as well. But, you know, I think that the call is coming from inside the house on where help is coming from, and that's Andre Dillard, who I do not expect to play as a practice. Like, I don't think he's going to be out there today, but next week, maybe, and then you're picking at straws. Now, the good news is you have your left and right tackle that you are comfortable with in Colton McKivitz and Trent Williams, but we know Trent Williams is going to miss time. At this age, he's going to miss time. So you're going to have a left tackle backup for 3 to 4 games. We're going to find out real quick. I do not envy Mac Jones and what he's going to be going through tonight. That Denver front is fierce, to say the least. And we saw it Thursday. Like, if they don't get things fixed up front, it doesn't matter what quarterback's back there. They're going to be feeling some pain. So hopefully you run the ball a lot. You put them in good situations. You do a lot of play action. Don't do a bunch of five-step drops with, you know, no help, no tight end to the left side. I'm a little worried about that. Mac Jones, man, wear your rib protector today, buddy.
What do you think of Tony Meredith here? Dillard can't run block. What do you think?
That's why he hasn't panned out, and that's why the Eagles moved on from him. That's why he's kind of turned into a journeyman. But, like, he was, you know, this is a Mike Leach offensive tackle. He never learned how to run block in college. All he did was pass sets. You know what I mean? And that kind of air raid RPO, whatever. Yeah, so, like, RIP Mike Leach, one of my favorite humans in the history of mankind. But, like, that's who he was. And so the 49ers have a couple guys like Nick Sakel fits into this mold as well, where he's just very good pass protection, not a great run blocker. Andre Dillard, he's kind of that as well. But when you're doing it, when you're looking at backup offensive linemen, you don't get complete packages unless you pay. And the Niners don't pay for offensive line. They have a value budget across the offensive line on everybody except Trent Williams. And that's why you let guys like Banks go. You let guys like Jalen Moore go. And I think both those were the correct moves. But who'd you replace them with? One of the cheapest offensive linemen in the NFL and freaking Andre Dillard. Like, you didn't pay for premium. You're not going to get premium.
Is Isaiah Prince? I mean, he's got 36-inch arms. I mean, he's got really, really – he's got offensive tackle reach. Is he going to, I mean, he's a waist bender. I mean, I'm watching him at practice. He just bends at the waist all the time. You got to bend your knees. You know that when I see waist benders, I think non-athletes. So that's a kind of a concern there for me is offensive tackle. I think it's a major concern here. There's always a game within the game, right? And that's what I love about pro football. We're all seeing the game on the field, but there's a game going on off the field, and it's John Lynch's personnel department. In the same way, they're we're going through this roster with a fine-tooth comb. Him and his lieutenants are going through their roster with a fine-tooth comb, but they're also looking for where can they get help at the cutdown. And any good personnel department is going to have a pretty good assessment of the league and where the depth resides and who might shake free at the cutdown that might be able to make you a better team. I'm going to show you the Eagles depth chart here because I think this is where I would shop if I were the 49ers looking for an offensive tackle. Okay, so here are the Eagles. They have Jordan Mailata and they have Lane Johnson, two future Hall of Famers there. Okay, but then if you look at their backup tackles, they have the veteran Kendall Lamb, who they signed as a free agent from Miami. And they also brought in Matt Pryor, who I think stinks, by the way. He was a Niner for a while.
Yeah, he was.
Gigantic guy, looks the part, tatted up and everything. He stinks. He can't move at all. So they had, and they moved him from tackle to guard. Obviously, they agree with me. They also drafted big Cam Williams from Texas.
He looked good. He looked good in his first game. I watched him yesterday.
Six-round pick. Then they also drafted the former Stanford and Michigan Wolverine offensive tackle Miles Hinton, who's a gigantic body in his own right. And then they also have this Laskin Vakalai, and then Holland Pierce from Rutgers, who's 6'7", 340. John, this is where I'm shopping right here. The Eagles can't keep all these guys. at some point, you're drafting for other teams when you just keep piling up the kinds of, there's going to be a bunch of guys. I would say 8 or 9 guys who the Eagles are going to cut. They're going to find their way to other teams. That's how deep their roster is this year. What do you think? This is where I would shop. I would be looking for either Cam Williams, Miles Hinton, or Holland Pierce, or even the veteran Kendall Lamb. Any of those guys get cut, and I think I might want to take a look at them. I have a feeling that these guys are probably better than Burford, better than, Pleasance, better than what the Niners have in their camp.
Yeah, it's funny because the NFL picks positions from different like Shanahan running back, Shanahan quarterbacks, like every single time they get sniped. And whenever you look at Coach Stout and what he's done at, in Philly, by far the number one offensive line coach in the NFL for the past decade, you get any of these guys, like, he knows what he's doing. Now, I would argue Holland Pierce, he's slow-footed. He's going to be much more like an Austin Pleasance. Yeah. But you take a role on that. If you can get him in, yeah, for sure. Do you think he could be that left tackle? I know he doesn't, zone block like you're going to want to, but man, if you just get somebody that can pass protect, and again, this is a guy that can get you through the pinch. We're not saying get Holland Pierce and start him over Colton McKivitz or anything
right,
like that.
Right, right, yeah.
But it's a flyer to boost the floor of your offensive tackle play, which I'm a little concerned about. Now, how many teams are you going to play that are as good as the Denver Broncos in pass rush? That's a question, but yeah, that tackle room, the 49ers are the only team in the NFL that have not drafted an offensive tackle or a center in 3 consecutive drafts. The depth chart reflects that.
One positive note on the Niner offensive line. And by the way, just looking at this Eagles depth chart, and I watched their preseason game, they have this kid here, Shundarrick Powell, who played at Central Arkansas. And the Niners worked him out prior to the draft. And I know the 49ers are all about special teams this year. And Powell, I think, could really be a dynamic guy on special teams. He's a running back, but he's a return guy. And he's got 4.3 speed. I love this player. And he looked good. I think he had a 32-yard touchdown in their first preseason game. And they've got Saquon Barkley, Will Shipley, A.J. Dillon, and they also signed Montrell Johnson out of Florida as an undrafted guy. I was talking to Chase Senior, who covers the Eagles. He said he thinks they're going to go with 3 running backs, which means Shundarrick Powell could easily get cut. And Shundarrick Powell, you think Bergen is nice. Shundarrick Powell is nicer, I think. So we'll see. That's another guy to watch for. We'll stop sharing on the Eagles depth chart there. But I do think the cut down there, is going to be a spot where the Niners, instead of being like, hey, all the good players are here and there's nobody around. The Niners have taken this kind of borderline arrogant stance, like nobody cut elsewhere could make our lofty roster. Well, that no longer is the case. There's going to be guys cut that are going to be better than the 49ers options. And it'll be interesting to see if the Niners pivot in the 11th hour and add some of these other players who potentially could help them. All right. Gems. Who do you want to see? What do you want to see tonight as far as, like, who do you think potentially is a bust out gem tonight? Because that's what I'll be looking for. Like, in the regular season, John, I'll be looking at every play, charting every play. Oh, first and 10 from the minus 16. In the preseason, I don't chart every play. I basically put out a flash list, and I just keep track of who flashes, who makes a play on offense, who makes a play on defense, who makes a play on special teams, who flashes and who makes a play. But the preseason, to me, the best part of the preseason is that it's all about finding gems on your roster that you didn't realize that you had, that you never leaned on before, that you now feel like you can lean on. So let's go right through the list here. We'll go back and forth for four or five of these each. Give me one player. If I said to you, you can only watch one player tonight, who are you going to watch?
That changed my answers. I was going to go a different way. I'm going to watch 95, Larry. I'm going to watch Alfred Collins. You know, what does it look like? How consistent is he? Does he get moved back? Can he handle the duo? Can he do all those things? I know everybody likes the huge penetration from the, you know, defensive lineman and knocking the offensive lineman back and all that. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking, does he help his fellow defensive linemen and linebackers out in the run game? That's what I want to see. Can number 95 be consistent, taking up multiple blocks and just plugging the inside? That's what I want to see. So when 95's out there, that's the player I'm going to be watching. Obviously hasn't had the best, you know, missed mini camp and OTAs with the contract issue, crossed the picket line first of almost all the second rounders, wanted to be here. Beat writers haven't been kind to him, but whenever I was watching the joint practices, it's not like he was playing bad by any stretch. So I want to see what 95 Alfred Collins, the second round pick. We're not going to get to see the first rounder. Mikael Williams not going to be out there. So I want to see 95, what that's going to look like.
I love it. I'm gonna go with his tag team partner, CJ West. You know, I have a hard time anytime West is on the field not having my eyes on West. Here he is answering a question. This is off Kev's.
He's so good behind the mic.
Yeah, he's so good behind the mic. I asked him about his grip strength because to me that's what separates him. He's got crazy grip strength. Listen to what he said.
CJ, where does the grip strength come from? I think a lot of people have talked about your hand strength, and the hands are a big part of your game. How do you develop your grip strength?
That first starts in the weight room. Whenever, and especially when we're in practice, anytime I'm striking a bag or striking a pad or striking anybody, like, I'm just grabbing something, because if I got cloth and I can be able to control a guy with some of their cloth and some of their jersey, like, I know I have a pretty good advantage. So, you know, that's kind of how I go about that. Just, I'm always trying to grab something. I was trying to grab a little shoulder pad, a little bit of jersey, because if I could tug on that and kind of pull you away, like, that'll get you off balance.
It sounds like it might be illegal, CJ.
No, not if they call it. If they don't call it.
Dude's awesome, man. He's so great.
He is great, dude. I mean, if you could clone this guy, you would. I mean, he is phenomenal. You know, you mentioned Collins. Back to Collins for just a second. You were at the joint practice, right?
Yes, sir.
I thought that was his. I was expecting him to struggle. Why? Because he's gotten wired in some of the one-on-ones to the old linemen. But you know what I love about Alfred? He's clearly young, but he's clearly improving. Like, he's really listening to Chris. He's really watching the other guys. He's learning from them. He's coming out of his stance. He's bull rushing the guy. He's waltzing the guy back on just pure power, right? So he's getting what they call the knockback, but then he's getting wired, and you're hearing Chris Kocurek at the top of his lungs yelling, "Keep going, keep going, keep going, don't stop, keep going." And then now, in the last couple days, and in this practice Thursday, he's bull rushing, and then he's throwing a guy away, and he's pulling the guy back. And he's starting to use some of that grip strength that CJ so much uses that this guy needs to use. And you can see he's getting better. He's not a pure speed pass rusher. He's 6'6", 330 for crying out loud. But he's improving as a rusher. And I thought his best practice was against the Broncos.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, you go back to his college tape at Texas, stack and shed was his number one move, where you completely power clean the offensive lineman, you get him rocked back on his heels, and then you discard him. You pull him down against, you know, counterweight. Like, you've seen him do that. So the fact that he's putting that into play, remember, this was a two-gapper in college. It's a completely different scheme, completely different system, completely different foot technique, completely different hand technique. Now you're starting to incorporate all of that together. I'm telling you, it might be a slow start, but 95 is going to be a contributing member to this 49ers defense, and it's going to be so important to stop in the run, which was the number one focus of Robert Saleh returning to the 49ers. We're stopping the run. Mikael Williams, stop the run. Nick Martin, stop the run. Upton Stout, stop the run. That is what is going to allow this defense to have success, forcing third and long. So it's not going to be about sacks. It's not going to be about tackle for losses. It's going to be about team gap control run defense, and Alfred Collins helps with that.
All right. There were some big moves this week, or a series of moves, and this was the – basically, I mean, we could we could list them all, but we won't. We'll just share the screen on this one tweet. This was Mayoko tweeted this earlier in the week. The Niners cut Greg Joseph, Trey Avery, Isaiah Nair, Tanner Mordecai, Mason Plein. They've since re-signed Mordecai. I asked Shanahan that day, I'm like, you know, why Carter Bradley over Mordecai? And he's like, you know, we might sign Mordecai back. And sure enough, they did. He's like, we needed the roster spot because of all the injuries we've had at the D-line. And so they cut Mordecai. But now Mordecai's back. Plein went to the Saints. Nair went to the Packers. Avery went to the Patriots. Joseph is probably sitting in a Santa Clara Hyatt waiting for Jake Moody to miss tonight. You know, they also signed Bradley and I, the former New York Jet, Bruce Hector, former New York Jet, Jalen Mahoney, their safety draft pick from Vandy last year, Fabian Moreau, who missed the joint practice yesterday with some injury, and then Isaiah Prince. Did you have a thought on, you know, this was like this all was happened announced just a minutes before they hit the practice field the other day, not on Thursday, but I think on Tuesday or Wednesday. What did you think? Do you have any thoughts on and this, you know, these 10 guys moving around?
Yeah, I think it's impressive that 4 out of 5 of the guys you let go all are on teams now. That's pretty impressive during this 90-man spurt that the NFL's in. Like, that is uncommon. 4 out of 5 guys are on rosters already. Some of them, you know, you brought back Tanner Mordecai, which I think speaks a lot that Brock Purdy probably not going to play. You have 5 quarterbacks on your roster right now. Brock Purdy probably not going to take snaps today. But Bradley and I, by far, you know, his very first practice, he was in the backfield 3 out of 4 plays in a row. I thought that he was great. And I think we're going to see a lot of the safety, you know, Taylor Hawkins, who you brought back. Niners love that dude. He is a practice stud. He's won, you know, practice squad player of the week multiple times. They love him. It's just his ceiling is low. His floor is high. So we'll see. I was really big on Fabian Moreau coming out of the draft. And so I want to see how he's going to play. Haven't really noticed too much of him in the practices I've been at, but he's going to get some snaps because corner room is light. It is super light. So we'll have to see some of these guys play. They're going to get some snaps. They're going to be able to put out their kind of tryout tape. I don't think any are going to make the 53-man, but they're going to get their shot.
You mentioned Bradley and I, you know, it's funny. I saw Brad Graham was like, he tweeted out, like, Bradley and I has gotten to the quarterback a bunch. Here's Saul. I asked him about Anai because he knows him. I like him. I think the Niners got something here. And I think the Niners got something in Sebastian Valdez and Bradley and I. They're two guys that I will definitely be watching for tonight. Here's Sala on Anai.
Robert, what do you like about Bradley and I? He was really good at Utah, and he really killed it in the, I guess, the UFL. I know you had him with the Jets.
Yeah.
What do you think of Anai?
You know, Bradley, he came to us at the Jets from Dallas as a practice squad guy, gave us an op to work with him. We were all really excited to work with him. We thought that he had a legit chance to make a really good roster on D-line in New York, and he tore his ACL. during OTAs, and which set him back. Proud of him. He found his way. He had a really successful successful season. So he's here. He's a good player. You know, I'm not going to say who I compare him to, but he's a very smart, effective player. He's got great versatility. So it's a great opportunity for him. Hope he takes advantage.
Who does Robert Saleh compare Bradley and Nye to? I got to get that answer because you know it's a good player. You know, he doesn't want to say it. He doesn't want to say it, not because the guy he's gonna, oh yeah, it's some, you know, stumble bum. He doesn't want to say it because the guy who he's comparing him to is probably pretty damn good, and he doesn't want to put any pressure on Anai. But Anai, this is you're a football coach, John. You could speak to this. Speed off the edge means a lot. This guy doesn't have it. You know, some guy, you know, Nolan Smith, heck, Robert Beal ran 4.48 coming off the edge. Robert Beal doesn't sack the quarterback. Robert Beal doesn't touch quarterbacks. Robert Beal doesn't really affect games. This guy runs 4.9. He's like an offensive tackle speed. He's like you could test his speed with a sundial. But he's got hand usage. And, John, it's amazing to watch him in one-on-ones. He jumps the tackle, and then he gets his hands to the tackle's inside shoulder. And somehow in this one jump, he's figured out a way to kind of jump and get leverage and dip the shoulder and get to the quarterback and flatten to the QB. It's like he gets by tackles without foot speed. I don't know if he can do it in the NFL. He has been dominant in this UFL. And he was a Morris Trophy winner in the Pac-12, which is a very prestigious award. I'm a big believer in Bradley and I's pass rush knack. What do you see?
I thought, okay, like here's what I do whenever the Niners sign somebody is I look up height, weight, speed, whatever else from players that they have coached, all right, in the past. And you look at Bradley and I, he's 6'3", 260, 265. You know, you see some different height, weights, whatever out there. You start cross-referencing Robert Saleh coach players that are 6'3", 265, 270. You come across the Seattle stint whenever he was there with that amazing defense. Michael Bennett fits it to a T. And I'm not saying that's who he was going to say, but Michael Bennett was on my short list of players. Amazing hand usage, all that kind of stuff. Not fast at all. That would be my guess. But then you start watching Bradley and I don't think that he's going to be making the 53. I think he could be elevated if Sam O doesn't go or if Mikael Williams is out for extended period of time. I think he could be that strong side buck style defensive end that is stout with pass rush upside. And so, like, the 49ers have had success with guys like this. Talking about Sam O, guys that have bounced around on other teams' practice squads, you bring them over and it's like, hey, look at this. It kind of works out. It's a system fit. So the 49ers put a premium on players that are good with their hands on that defensive line, and that has shown. That is already shown with Bradley and I. So you're going to see him a lot of snaps. He's going to get a chance to prove himself. Tonight we will see a lot of them.
To me, you know, when I was making my list of guys who potentially could be gems, and when I say gems, I'm just talking about guys that either weren't on the team last year that potentially could be on the team this year and potentially could be good on the team going forward. I got a pretty long list here. This is my quick list. Mac Jones, Carter Bradley, Corey Kiner, Jordan Watkins, Jacob Cowing, who won't play tonight, Connor Colby, Drew Moss, Marquise Siegel, Jacob Robinson, Stone Blanton, Junior Bergen, Upton Stout, who John Lynch, by the way, compared to Rondé Barber, Hall of Fame corner. That's an incredible comp. C.J. West, Nick Martin, Alfred Collins, Sebastian Valdez, Bradley Anai, Derek Canteen, Tatum Bethune.
Oof.
That's a lot of young players to keep your eye on in a preseason game, but that's where the Niner roster is at right now. And you know what's, you know, a lot of people would look at that and be like, man, that you're right. That, you know, there's a lot of young players here and it could be a long year. I look at it like if the Niner coaching staff is worth its weight and you know, if they're really a good coaching staff, as ESPN says, the Niners have the third best coaching staff in the league behind Kansas City and Minnesota. If they're right, then there's a lot of great young talent here that they, that just needs to be polished and coached up. I'm very, very excited for this season. I think the 49ers are going to be one of the fun teams to watch as the season goes on. I think they're going to get better and better and better. They got a lot of young talent. Of that list, who, give me another gem or two that you're looking for tonight.
The one that you didn't, that was really high on my list, number two, Dallas Flowers, who I think is in the lead role for that number three corner spot. You know, Darrell Luter Jr. has not looked good. I think that he's been burned nonstop in one-on-ones. He's looking in some run fits, and he's looking on special teams, Indy. I do like that. But I think Dallas Flowers and Trey Brown kind of have catapulted Darrell Luter Jr. for that spot. You remember Luter was getting snaps with the ones. He hasn't in the past week and a half. And Dallas Flowers, I think, is a guy that could be starting corner week one. Upton Stout, you know, it, once Renardo Green's healthy, I think obviously those are the two outside, Diamador Lenore and Renardo Green. Remember, Demo's not taking snaps in the slot. Like, he's not. I know he's done in the past. They're keeping him outside. And so Upton Stout, Dallas Flowers, that's kind of your, you know, number three corner hybrid mix. I'm excited to see how those guys play, but number 35, Dallas Flowers, not a common name, but this dude's in line for a lot of snaps this year.
I asked Gus Bradley about him because Gus brought him with him from Indy. And he's like, yeah, he's like, the first thing you notice about him is he's really got the body to play the corner. He's got great length, great strength, great ability to mirror. Great athleticism. So, I mean, there's no question. Dallas Flowers looks the part. You want to know what an NFL corner is supposed to look like? Height, weight, speed, body type. That's it. Long, strong, sinewy, fast. He's exciting.
Might be the best deep cover corner, you know, just through the practices I've been at. One-on-ones, when they run those fades and post routes, like, he does not get beat over the top. Like, he is a strider.
And he's a significant player on special teams for them as well. Luter had a concussion, I believe, or at least was being checked for a concussion after the last practice. So I don't know what his status is for tonight, but that will be one. I'm a big Luter fan. I really like his body type at corner. I like the way he looks in the uniform. I like his potential. He's played a ton of man coverage. I'd hate to see them cut another up and coming corner. Coach these guys. If they don't, you know, your personnel department liked him for a reason. Coach him, get him better. But it's now or never for Darrell Luter. There's no question about that. The other thing that jumped out in these joint practices is that Sebastian Valdez continued to kick ass.
Second group, man. Bravo group.
He beat that. Is it Ben Powers, the starting left guard for Denver? He beat him on an early rep. And I don't know if you were too far away from that, but he beat Valdez beat Powers on an early rep, and it was one of Valdez is trying, you know, he's trying to be on his game, right? He's trying to up his game for Denver. Powers whiffed on him. He just went right by him. And the thing that's so intriguing about Valdez, and I've had people say, Krug, you know, you've gotten excited about, you know, Spencer Wagey and other guys in the past. Why, you know, tell me why Valdez is not Spencer Wagey. And I'm like, well, you know, everybody's different. You know, there's no, you know, I like Spencer Wagey because I thought he had that country strength. But bottom line is you have to play the game in the NFL on your feet.
He was on the ground all the time.
He was on the ground all the time. Like every play, you have to be able to keep your feet. If you can't keep your feet, you can't play in the NFL. He couldn't keep his feet. He couldn't play. You know, Valdez is a totally different animal. Valdez is like the strongest defensive tackle. His only real downside is he's got short limbs, but he's very, very strong. So he can bull rush you right into the lap of the quarterback. He also has great hand usage, and he's got an ability to use his hands and create some initial contact and then pick a side and get on an edge. And he's really good. And I've seen him do it constantly. Now, he also has some spin moves and some agility things inside where he can twist you around. So I'm looking for Valdez to continue to dominate. I'm pretty convinced by now. I mean, it's funny, John. There's a lot of people that watch Niner football every week that never watch a down of college football. Don't watch the combine. Don't watch the draft. Don't watch any football. So in a way, there are guys who are like, when they play in the preseason in the NFL, it's almost like they're hatched out of an egg and they're born for the first time, because there are people that will be noticing guys tonight that college football fans have been talking about for a while. But Valdez is one of them. Right now, Niner fans don't know him. If he plays as much as I think he's going to play, and if he has the kind of production I think he's going to have, we're going to be talking a lot about him.
And like, you'll see him, jersey number 55. And the funny thing is, he goes out there in the Bravo unit. It's Alfred Collins, 95 next to 55. There's not a bigger discrepancy in the way they're built, but they play the same position. And so with Valdez, you know, two things. Number one was, can he overtake the other undrafted free agent defensive tackle, Kevin Givens? He tore his pec. That obstacle has been cleared. And injuries are horrible, but there is an opportunity cost to every situation. My one issue, and, you know, I know that Sebastian Valdez can bring a lot in pass rush and, you know, going through his man one-on-one. I did see in the joint practices him get washed down out of his run gap a few times. So that's what I'm watching. Whenever I see 55, can he be stout and maintain his run gap integrity without, you know, being over-eager, getting upfield and getting washed down out of his gap? That's what I want to see. I did see it back-to-back reps against the Broncos on Thursday. But, you know, he has his stake, which is pass rusher. Can he provide the high floor play of not being a run game liability? The strength is there. The technique is there. Can he hold his ground? That's one of the things I want to see. That down block, can he just squat? He's short already. Anchor and just stay in that gap. That's what I want to see. But I'm a big fan of 55, and you know, the defensive tackle room has lost almost all of their veteran leadership. Jordan Elliott's now hurt. Kevin Givens is hurt. There's spots to be had. So this might be the biggest game for any player on the Niners roster. 55 might be it, Sebastian Valdez.
Yeah, that would be my second biggest concern. Despite how much I love Collins, despite how much I love West, despite how enamored I am with Sebastian Valdez, the lack of depth on the defensive tackle spot, they're going to have to go outside the organization and find a defensive tackle that can contribute here, because they really are too shy. The pec injury for Givens is a recurrence of a pec injury. That's a terrible injury for a defensive tackle. I would say you can't bank on him. You got Evan Anderson, who I really like, but he's got a bone bruise. And then you've got Jordan Elliott, who's always been kind of a guy who plays just in a rotation off the bench. And he is the first defensive tackle, in all the drills. And he's not up for that. I mean, I think he's a decent talent, but he's not up to be the lead defensive tackle on anybody's defensive line. So they're going to have to grow up their young guys fast. But I'll say this. I think their best NASCAR package, their best third down grouping that I've seen, if tomorrow were Super Bowl Sunday and the Niners had to play the Chiefs, let's say, and now it's like, who are we going to rush Mahomes with, you know, to try to speed him up on key third downs? I would have Bryce Huff, Nick Bosa, Mikel Williams, Sebastian Valdez.
Ooh.
That would be my four-man front. Ooh. Right there.
Man, however they're going to do it. You know, when Eter Gross Matos comes back, he's going to be a part of that. Mikel Williams is going to be a part of that. Like, they've got guys that could do that. But, yeah, you want that. You know, when Robert Saleh was with the Jets, he kept one defensive tackle out there, and that was Quinnen Williams. The other three were all defensive ends. And so, like, he likes to keep that one defensive tackle. Why not Sebastian Valdez? Like, just let him do that one thing. And so, you know, it's funny because I've had coaches that have the mindset of, well, tell me what a player can do. And then I've had coaches like, well, tell me what he can't do. And the one thing we know for sure about Sebastian Valdez, that dude can rush the passer.
Yeah,
like one-on-ones, he's going to embarrass the hell out of people if you're going to leave him one-on-one. And if you got Nick Bosa and Bryce Huff and Mikel Williams, nobody's circling 55. We have to watch out for this guy. So, like, he's going to get those matchups in that situation. I really want to make this roster, Larry. I think you were right on from the start.
Okay, Thursday, a couple last thoughts before we get out of here. Today, by the way, for those of you, that there's a preseason game going on as we speak.
Ooh.
The Giants and Bills are playing right now. First quarter, no score.
Larry, are you watching the game on the other screen? Are you watching the game right now?
I should, because I am the guy. I spent a bunch of time last night on the couch watching NFL preseason. I will sit there and just watch it.
Oh, so much. I brought my second TV into the living room yesterday. That's the football tradition. So now we got two TVs. The wife watches her show, and then I put football on mute on the other one. And so that's how we cohabitate.
Well, you know, help happy wife, happy life.
That's right.
I just celebrated my 26th wedding anniversary 2 days ago. So I'm all about making mama happy. All right. Today, though, so you get Giants, Bills, Texans, Vikings, Cowboys, Rams, Steelers, Jags, Titans, Bucks, Jets, Packers at Lambeau, Chiefs, Cardinals, Broncos, Niners tonight. At 5:30. Have you seen any Thursday? We got Ravens. Ravens never lose in the preseason. I don't know what their record is, but it's gaudy. They won 24-16 over the Colts. Eagles beat the Bengals 34-27. Tanner McKee, I thought, looked really good. I don't know if you saw how much.
Yeah.
Tanner McKee was 20 of 25 for 262 yards.
It was against the starters. It was against the Bengals starters.
He looks good. He looks really good. I thought in that Ravens game, the East Carolina running back, is it Keaton Mitchell or
Keaton Mitchell? Yeah.
Keaton Mitchell. Yeah. He's healthy now and doing his thing. I thought in the Seattle Raider game, Seattle has found George Halani, the Boise State running back. And I don't know if you caught any of that, but Halani had 7 carries for 61 yards and
a
touchdown.
He was quick, man. He was quick.
He did look good. He did look good. And what else? Oh, Shedeur Sanders had a pretty nice little debut. 14 of 23, 138 yards and 2 touchdowns. I will say this, though, Browns fans, before you just, you know, Browns fans are like, you know, we've got the next Joe Montana. And Mel Kiper's like, yes, you do. he compared him to Mel. He said Shedeur was the next, reminded him of his comp was Joe Montana. I was like, what? What are you talking about? But, you know, before you sit there and go, oh, Shedeur, don't forget that, you know, Brady Quinn, you know, Shedeur was 14 to 23, 138 yards. He had a 106.8 passer rating. Brady Quinn in his first game with the Browns, 13 of 20, 155 yards, 2 touchdowns, 113.5 passer rating. Let's pump the brakes on Shedeur. All right. It's one game, but he did look good. And what do you think that he will wind up being the starter there? There's Flacco. There's
they got five.
They got a bunch of guys. They got Pickett. They've got the guy who was at Oklahoma and Oregon and Central Florida. I forget his name, but
Dylan Gabriel.
Dylan Gabriel, yeah. And then they've got Shedeur, who you know, I mean, if Shedeur can continue to play like that, what I noticed is that he can move well in the pocket. And he can improvise in the red zone.
He's tough as hell. That's the number one trait. Like when you talk about Shedeur, he's tough as hell. Like he is very tough. Now, I think all those quarterbacks are going to start because I don't think that that's a very good team. I think Flacco is going to be the starter to start the season. I think you will see Dylan Gabriel. I think you will see Shedeur. I think you will see Kenny Pickett. I think they're going to run through the gauntlet. I don't think the quarterback of the future is on the roster as of yet. So I think you got back-to-back solid quarterback classes coming out of the NFL draft in 26-27. And yeah, I root for everybody. I'm not a Shedeur fan at all, but that dude balled out. And if he can keep doing that, why not, man? He looked pretty clean.
One other thing that caught my eye, the Patriots look way better. The yep. Patriots put 48 on the Commanders. The Patriots have a quarterback. Drake May, I think, is getting nothing but better. He played very little. They also have Josh Dobbs backing him up now, the Pastronaut. But they also, their third string quarterback is a guy named Ben Woolridge, who's a Pleasanton kid. And Woolridge came off the bench and looked great. He was 9 of 12, 132 yards and a touchdown. He had a 138 rating. The UC Davis kid, Lan Larrison, had a touchdown and ran for 5 yards a carry. Efton Chisholm, the third from Eastern Washington, is kind of like a little Cooper Kupp. I mean, 6 catches for 50 yards and a touchdown. on 8 targets.
You liked him. Yeah, you
I really like him. I was telling my nephew, watch out for Efton Chisholm. And then the Cal kid, Craig Woodson, led them in tackles with 5 and had a hit on the quarterback. So
he was one of my favorites. He was a rush crush guy that I loved, Craig Woodson.
Travion Henderson was explosive. He only touched the ball once, but it went for 18 yards. I really like New England this year under Vrabel to bounce back in a big way. I think New England is going to be one of the surprise teams in the AFC. I think they're a borderline playoff team.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a big fan. I thought Josh McDaniel, that hiring of the offensive coordinator, I thought was huge. And yeah, they have a lot of quality pieces. Will Campbell looked good. Kyle Williams looked good. Like, they've got youth. We'll see if it comes together. They're going to have some bumps and bruises, but I'm with you on Drake May. He was my number 2 quarterback in the draft last year. Obviously Jaden Daniels, but I think it's Jaden Daniels, Drake May in that quarterback draft class from last year, just after 1 year. We'll see how it pans out, but I think that they have their kind of future planned out for sure. I'm big stock up on the Patriots, and I hate the Patriots, but yeah, they put together a solid roster.
Let's hit our supers. We'll get out of here. And I got one, we got the big finish. One major question for you on the way out the door. Let's go with this one. It's not a super, but 49ers, does anyone know if Dillard is playing today?
No. He has a practice. I don't think they're going to put him out there.
Eric Bochniarz. Did I butcher that?
That's an awesome name. Awesome name.
He says, John, speaking of shirts, and we spoke about this via email, you need to work with CJ West on the I Hate Quarterback shirts. Everybody will buy one.
Oh, yeah, dude. I talked to him about that. The agents, you know, and all that stuff, that always makes it complicated. But I'm not the merch guy, but it's a great, you know, idea.
I'm going to do that because I am the merch guy. I have a bunch of merch on my channel. I'm going to get Kev to put out. I'm thinking maybe just a gray shirt with maybe gold, you know, the red writing or the red or the black writing. I hate quarterbacks, and maybe CJ West, maybe West on the back with a number.
That's clean. That would be clean.
That would be clean. I got to see what that would cost. I get Kev on that as soon as he gets back from outside lands, and sobers up, we'll get Kev on it. Eric says, agreed, fellas. All of a sudden, offensive tackle is a nightmare in our biggest area of concern. Not paying DJ Humphreys definitely is going to come back to bite us in the butt. Yeah, my major concerns, defensive tackle, offensive tackle.
Yep. I put corner right after that one, but yeah.
Yeah. Mr. Shadur Sanders is in the chat. Not too bad yesterday, but could have done better. C+.
Oh, wow. Mr. Shadur's there. I'll take it.
I like that. Hey, and I like the fact that Mr. Shadur is spelling Shadur correctly. MSQ, last week he was SHEU. I'm like, if you're going to be Shadur, maybe spell his name right. But we're joking, Mr. Shadur. MSQ says, sorry for making you mad yesterday about JJ Krug. Oh, no, you didn't. Dude, if I'm mad on a stream, it's make-believe mad, unless there's somebody that I'm truly yelling at.
Larry hasn't yelled at me yet. I'm going to have to push some more buttons at some point.
Yeah, it's like, you know, here what it's a content creator. Like, I've been doing this now for, this would be my third year, I think. I started in 22. This is year 3, or maybe year 4. In the first year, I had some really ugly moments where I'm yelling at Vish. I'm yelling at
Love Vish.
Jesse. I'm yelling at, I don't know. I can't even remember who I'm yelling at. And I'm looking at those and I'm going, Jesus, I'm a jackass. You know, it's like, what am I doing? You know, it's like, I have a mortgage. I'm a father of 4, for crying out loud. I pay car insurance on like 7 vehicles. I'm probably closer to having grandkids than I am to having my last kid. I can't be yelling at college students, on YouTube. So I kind of made an evaluation that it's not that I'm not going to yell, because I'm passionate. I'm very passionate. And believe me, as the season goes on, there'll be something that we disagree on and we'll dig in our heels. But you know what? I only stream with people I like and people I respect. And and I just don't want to get into it with people I like and people I respect. I'm more about long-term relationships and helping everybody get what they want out of this. So I'd rather John come on here and promote what he's got going. I'd rather go on with him and promote what I got going. I'd rather, you know what I mean? I'm kind of graduated beyond the, I'm going to yell and scream at people. And at the end of the day, you know, we're all doing the same thing, but we're all doing something totally different. And that's the beauty of this thing. It's like my coverage is different than Grant's coverage, is different than your coverage, is different than Lombardi's coverage, is different than Barrow's coverage, is different than Mayoko's coverage. You know, everybody's got different coverage. And that's the beauty of this. That's the great thing. I love the fact that Grant and me and Dave and you, we're all in the same lane, but different lanes. And it's kind of like, you know, you go to Baskin and Robbins, it's not, hey, welcome to Baskin Robbins. It's one flavor. It's 31 flavors, right? And so I kind of feel that that's what makes the best. I'm not the yeller and screamer that I used to be, but
we love you, Larry. You make our lives better, man. Really appreciate it.
Go to hell, John.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
you former Texas, you, get out of my state. No.
Duncanville, baby. I represent Texas as we speak. There we go.
You carpetbagger. Get out of here. All right. There you go. James Foster says, Krug, you're a beast, man. 49er content machine. Thank you.
Unreal.
Man.
Unreal. Thank what you, man. You do.
Been working hard this week. Because I feel like I've had a long day. And then Kev says, hey, Dad, I think I need more content. Oh, great. Jake Moody's in the chat. He says, game day. How's Money Moody going to do today, guys?
Last time when the lights came on, it didn't look good. And this was the start of the season where it didn't go well. And I was at that 49ers preseason game and a lot of laughing in the crowd and whatever else. I hope he does well. I want nothing but the best for him. And it's the best for the 49ers if he performs. But again, he's one of those guys when there's any type of pressure whatsoever. I hope he does well, though. He's had a good camp so far.
The other day, he when Joseph was cut, he goes out there to kick, and the guy who's on the DJ at camp is playing AC/DC Money Talks, and that's his nickname, Jake Money Moody. And I'm like, yeah, he's talking through his kicking, and then he made, I think, 5 of 6 or 6 of 7. You know, all I'll say is God bless Jake Moody if he misses tonight, because there will be an awful lot of people booing. MSQ says the got to get off to a good start. I know it's just preseason, but the fans, you got to get off to a good start. MSQ says the San Francisco Giants are on a roll, 4 games behind a wild card spot, 3-game winning streak, and Drew Gilbert might be an upgrade over Yaz at right field. Thoughts? Drew Gilbert went 0-for-4 last night, but he's an athlete and he's really, really athletic. He's going to play great defense out there, and he's the future. Yaz was old and eroding. You know, it would be so Giants, it would be so on brand for the Giants to be given up for dead and, you know, sink like a stone to the fact that their GM has to sell off parts. And then when everybody gives them up for dead and is watching Niner training camp and nobody gives a shit anymore, all of a sudden it's like, hey, here we come down the stretch. I'm a Giants fan to the bitter end, but I want to see them play young guys down the stretch. And if they can close ground and get to the wild card by playing the young guys, great. And if not, so be it. I want to see some youth. Give me Drew Gilbert. The Drew Gilbert era is here. I want to see that other pitcher they got. What a highway robbery for Tyler Rogers. Eric says, thanks, guys, and close enough, Lair. You guys definitely need to work with these agents and get your cut as you have the audience. And yes, love the idea, Lair. Good.
Make that money, Larry. Nothing makes me happier than seeing people make money, man. I love it.
I got to write this down before I'm going to forget.
Of course, he has a pin tucked in his shirt. That was awesome. That's the most Kruger thing ever.
I mean, it's like this is the one thing that I like. I'm like, ooh. Jim Harbaugh. That's my guy. You know what I mean? Like when he's got the Sharpie. I mean, Harbaugh would have a Sharpie on a string around his neck, like a whistle.
Yep.
So it's I hate
quarterbacks,
and it's CJ West.
I think the shirt that he wore was I hate QBs. It was QBS, but yeah, I hate quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I like that. It's coming. It's coming, guys. And you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to do like the bar stool thing. I'm going to get the Krug Show moniker, but just in the back and the top, and then I'll just go I hate QBs in the front, and there we go. I mean, I think that's a hitter. I'll wear it on the show, and then we'll really sell them. I wore that that terrible Niners shirt. I shouldn't call it terrible because Chubby sent it to me and it's actually pretty cool. But I wore, I mean, I probably wouldn't wear that to the game, but I wore that on, I put that on Twitter yesterday and I got all kinds of people. Where's the link? I need to buy it. So,
hey man, you're a model. You're a model, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like George Costanza. I'm a hand model. Ben Affleck's double chin. Lair, you've mellowed out more after working with Gary. Yeah, well, Gary will make you mellow out for sure. Couple last ones. I think this might be the last one. Moody foot versus moody head. Who wins the battle? Yeah, exactly. The guy's got a great foot.
It's always between the ears. That's the concern with kickers. He's got all the talent in the world. But, man, you listen to him talk or you see him post-game or you see him on the sidelines and no confidence is instilled in any of those quotes or pictures or videos. I hope he's got it figured out.
Eric says, yes, I love the collab, fellas. So excited. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate you, brother. We had one that made me laugh in here. Let's see if I can find this one. Butthead. Larry'd rather be shirtless because Larry's a model. Thank you.
Sexy.
All right, big finish. It is time for the big finish. Maybe the most surprising thing that I've seen in camp outside of the Sebastian Valdez's and the guys who are gems that come out of nowhere was in joint practice Thursday, watching Mac Jones complete 13 of 16 against a defense that was harassing and haranguing Brock Purdy to the point where Brock Purdy was like 14 of 26 or something like that. But Jones was out there playing on time. He's not the biggest guy. He's not the strongest guy. He's not the fastest guy, but he is smart. He can process. He is looking like he's taking to this offense like a hand to glove. He fits perfectly. He's saying all the right things. He's doing all the right things. This guy is one of the best acquisitions. He had an absolute deep ball dime to Robbie Chosen deep down the field. Mac Jones, what do you make of Mac Jones?
He's the best backup quarterback the 49ers have had in the Shanahan era, and I don't think it's close.
Wow.
There's been several times since I've been out at camp where I'm like, who was the quarterback? Was that Brock or Mac? Because it's operating so efficiently with the first and second team quarterback, and I think that is just such a comfort blanket that the 49ers have not had. And I have harped, and I know you have too, Larry, on how chintzy the 49ers were and cheap the 49ers were in free agency. At the quarterback position, they weren't. And they went out and got not only Mac Jones for 1 year, but a 2-year deal. And that is just such a comfort blanket knowing that you have the backup quarterback. And I go back to Charlie Casserly, you know, the old general manager for
Commanders.
The most Redskins. Important person on the team is the quarterback. The second most important person is the backup quarterback. Like, that's just what I hear. And so it's nice to know in a team that's been so injury riddled. Not that the team would be okay without Brock, but you do have a little bit of security at that position for the first time in a long time.
I haven't asked you this question, and it's probably unfair, but do you think if I said what's the best quarterback room in football, and I mean, you may need to research it, I would say it's Niners or Eagles. I mean, think about it. What makes a great quarterback room a great quarterback room? Well, you got to have a good starter. Niners have that in Purdy. They have that in Hurts. You got to have a good backup who's, you know, got some potential. They've got Tanner McKee. Look great. Niners have Mac Jones. Mac Jones looks like a starting NFL quarterback. You got to have, you know, some decent younger prospects. They got McCord and DTR, and the Niners have Carter Bradley, who's got a freaking hose, and Tanner Mordecai. And then preferably you got to have like kind of like a long-term kind of flyer. And the Niners have that in Rourke, the Maple Missile, who, let's be honest, I mean, with a torn ACL, he led Indiana to the college football playoff and demonstrated amazing toughness. I will take the Niners and Eagles quarterback rooms. I mean, I know there's Kansas City's got Mahomes and Minshew, so they're really geared to win right now. And they've got another guy named Olatokan, who's really athletic. So Kansas City's pretty good too. But I love the Niners quarterback room this year. I really do. I think it's great.
Most confidence I've had in it since, you know, I started this in 2017. Like, it's never felt this way Mac Jones has been awesome throughout camp. I mean, he's been great. There's no quarterback controversy, and no matter what happens, there won't be here. But yeah, confidence is there, and it's by far one of the best, most established quarterback rooms. And I don't even like McCorkle, but the dude's been balling out.
No doubt. No doubt. And it's real. You think it's real?
Oh, yeah, I do. I feel really good. I'm glad that it was a two-year deal. And, like, there's going to be chances where when quarterback injuries happen, like, the 49ers are going to be one of those teams that's brought up, like, well, do you want to trade for Mac Jones? Like, that's the kind of situation that you're leading into. And if he balls out in the preseason, that's only going to be magnified to where once a quarterback does go down, which it happens every part of every season, you could trade for Mac Jones. That is a tradable contract.
Let's get out of here. Good stuff. Thanks to Pig and a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. Thanks to Clawdaddy Arcades. I mentioned I would tell you about Sharp Corners. They're our sponsor as well. Sharp Corners Sports Cards and Collectibles are 205 Cypress Avenue in Pacific Grove, California, on the Monterey Peninsula. My good friend is Anthony Catania. He'll be there tonight, 831-521-5264, and he's a great follow on IG at Sharp Corners 831. On the gram, and one more time for those of you who didn't hear us off the outset, Niners are invading Seattle, and John is traveling up there, and Kev and I are talking about maybe trying to get up to week one there, Seattle. We're definitely going to travel a little bit this year. We're not sure exactly where we want to go. I got to kind of coordinate it with my youngest son's football schedule. Cause there's nothing I love more in life than watching my boys play football. You know, yeah, or play beautiful. Sports, period. Or, you know, my kids play sports. My daughter ran track. My middle son played baseball exclusively. But there's something about watching your son play football that's both scary and exciting at the same time, because you're worried about their health and them staying healthy, but you're also really excited for them. So anyway, we'll have to see if we can make it to this one. But everybody, there it is. Tick Pick app. Type in 49er Rush. There's still tickets available. John, I'll give you the final word before we bolt for the door.
Man, we have made it through the desert, ladies and gentlemen. We have 49ers football tonight. I'm so excited. I'm going to get tape, all 22 tape to break down. I cannot wait, Larry. I appreciate all that you do for the community and getting us through this rough patch. But tonight we got 49ers football, and I couldn't be more excited.
Will you be doing anything in and around the game, either before, during, or after, that you want to promote?
I'm going to be going live right after the game and just doing my initial kind of, you know, thoughts and whatever else. I'll have about 15 page notes written up and all that kind of stuff. So I'll go through it like I did whatever, you know, coaching wise, my first run through the film, some things that I saw. So right after the game, we'll be live on our channel. But I know, Larry, everybody, make sure you check out, you know, he'll be live pretty much the whole damn time, which I freaking love. And so, you're going to have content, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep, no question. It's on, as John said. For John, I'm Larry. Have a great Saturday. Go Niners! Yeah, never met a
man I've been scared of. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.